Welcome to the Farm to School podcast, where you will hear stories of how you thrive and farmers prosper when we grow, cook, and eat delicious, nutritious local foods in schools.
We're your hosts. I'm Rick Sherman.
And I'm Michelle Markestein. We are Farm to School coordinators coming to you from the state of Oregon.
Okay, so last week, Michelle, I was on assignment at the second biannual Growing School Garden Summit in San Diego, California.
Lucky you.
Yes, we were blessed with really good weather, right by the beach, gorgeous setting. This conference had over 500 attendees from all over the USA.
500.
And even
500. That's
500.
Amazing.
It was a jam-packed. It was a great conference. And yeah, some from even around the globe. So these are one of those conferences where you'll get inspired by the wonderful people that do amazing things in the school gardens and across our country. As one guest told me, you could have probably grabbed each one of the 500 guests and you would have had a different amazing story every time.
Well, right. So, I mean, who were these folks? I mean, my sense is these are the school garden leaders from around the country. And like you said, even some from out of the country.
They were. There were the school garden leaders. They were people that were just volunteers. There were principals. There were all walks of life, CEOs of different nonprofits and corporations. They were there just wanting to learn about school gardens or there to share. And I just set up my stuff off of a corner in a hallway and grabbed people and sat them in a chair and gave them headphones and said, tell me your life story and tell me what excites you about school gardens and teaching kids about local food. And every single time I had a wonderful story to share.
So a hallway at a conference. So
yeah.
So basically the on assignment means these are going to be really high quality audio, super clean.
No. You will hear people laughing and off to the side, and it is what it is. I think it's going to be fine.
Excellent.
Also, I was fighting a cold, so there's the odd time when I was coughing off mic as best as I could, so I apologize for that.
And we earlier in another podcast episode, we interviewed John Fisher.
We
from
did.
Life Lab and School Garden Support Organization. So
yes.
How is that?
This was his baby, his brainchild. And I was very fortunate. I got to see John again and say hi to him a bunch. And he took some pictures of us doing some of these. So I'll share some of those in the show notes and things like that. But yeah, there was too many people to mention. You know, I grabbed some of these people that were keynotes and I said, you have got to be on our show. So I have enough content here for four episodes and that's what we're aiming for. You'll see on the thumbnail, this is what we're trying to do is part one of four.
Excellent.
And so we have a lot of content I have to get going on editing. So let's get started with our first episode, okay?
Thank you. This is wonderful.
So I am here with Jessica Eves at the Growing School Garden Summit in San Diego, California. And I just had the pleasure of touring your school, Jessica. I was blown away by your school, how beautiful it is. It was a courtyard garden. Can you just tell me about your journey, how you started your garden there?
All right. Well, thank you for inviting me on today.
Yep.
The garden came out of an idea from an after-school club I started about 5 years ago, and they wanted a school garden. And crazy enough, before I became a classroom teacher over 20 years ago, my first job was a garden teacher. But it was part-time, and it wasn't a garden that I started. I kind of just filled into a space that needed a teacher. So when the kids said they wanted a school garden, I was like, I can do this. So I started writing grants, and we got our first grant, and I was like, oh, wow, all right, this is exciting. And I just kept writing grants.
And you had a green thumb, and you knew everything about gardening?
No, not at all. I knew nothing. I mean, I knew some, but I mean, I had actually worked on organic farms in New Zealand when I studied abroad. So I had a love for gardening,
yeah.
But I'd never done anything to this level where we're at now, which you saw today. So yeah, so the kids wanted a garden, and as I'm going to be talking on Monday on my lightning talk, they got a garden, and it's, you know, it just kept just, I mean, it just kept evolving and growing and getting bigger.
It was, there's two kind of courtyards in your place. One was a good picture of how it used to look. It was just grass.
Yes.
Which is pretty common in places. And my experience, a lot of those courtyards aren't really well used until they're a garden, and they're really well used. It's such a neat use of space. So so how did that evolve?
Well, you know, I went to my admin with the idea that these kids had for a garden. She just said yes, and it was just yes every time after that. They had the school fund having the grass removed because, like you saw, there was a grass side on the other side, and then there was where used to be grass is now where our garden's at, and She was just always she was so excited to do and create this program with me, and that I am so grateful for.
And not only is it just a garden, you know, like I've, you know, people say sometimes, like, sometimes there's a stigma. It's like, gardens are just for growing food. You grow stuff, but then you teach. You have a cooking class where you teach all the kids.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about that.
So the garden started as just a garden, and then when we got our first award from the Sage Garden Project, it gave me the opportunity to show how we could really utilize the garden to its fullest, right? Because we just gave away the food in the beginning, and some, you know, some teachers
nothing
might,
wrong
know,
with that.
No, and there was nothing, but the kids weren't getting a chance to see how you could easily make veggies taste amazing, and that's my goal, is getting kids to love veggies. And when I hear the kids ask for more veggies, they're just like, or just yesterday, one of my students said, "What did you do to this broccoli? It tastes so good." You know, and that's music to my ears.
Yeah. And let me tell you guys out there about her student leaders. She has junior master gardeners out there, and, you know, little elementary aged kids, but they look you right in the eye and they speak to you, and they are on test. They had these little leaders that took us around. And I asked this one little young lady who was our leader, and I said, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" She goes, "I want to be a garden teacher, just like." And she talked about you, and that was what she wanted to do. And it just made my heart melt. It was so cool.
So sweet. I know, that makes my heart melt hearing that. So
It's always good. You make a difference. You don't. Thank you. You realize how much we make a difference when we're teaching kids about food and stuff. You think it's such a small thing, but, you know, they associate that garden with the school. So, but I saw all the posters in your room of, like, we did a taste test today. We did carrot top pesto, and it was delicious. I've never had that before. And I will make it myself, you know, but I usually have an overabundance of basil, but it's really nice to have that option too. But the point is, all the kids, you know, like, they vote on their taste tests, and they, you know, and I saw so many of them tried everything, and they're getting to like the foods, and they're at least giving it a try. And hardly, there was a very small percentage of the people that didn't care for it and stuff. So it was really neat to see.
Yeah, and just like I might have mentioned in your group, I mean, just giving the kids the space, right? The space when they feel comfortable enough to try the food, and once they realize the food that I serve them is very tasty, they're eager. They're eager to come back and try something new, right? Which is fun.
Do you have any goals for, like, you know, what's going to happen in 5 years from now at your school? 10 years, or, you know?
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, this program grew so much in such a short period of time, and it's only been 5 years. And now, I mean, I moved from being a classroom teacher from 19 years into this full-time position as a garden and cooking educator. But what I would love to see is, I mean, the kids love the cooking aspect of this program so much. They just want to eat, and they're so excited to eat. I would love to be able to transform our classroom into a true culinary kitchen, a culinary lab, where the kids could be even more hands-on. Yeah. I mean, we try to get as much as we can, but, you know, you saw the setup. It's it's a good setup. I'm really grateful to have it, but it's still pretty basic, and, you know, we're still limited. So I would love to be able to find grant money or a sponsor that can help clean up that space and make it.
Well, if anyone could do it, you can. You're a go-getter. It reminds me of someone we just interviewed a couple months ago, Kelly Douglas. She's that same mindset, somebody who just refuses to take no for an answer and can fundraise and do things and just be a dynamo. So I really applaud you and appreciate what you do for the kiddos. Jessica, is there any one thing, takeaway that you would want to tell the audience of your job or what you do or how you empower students' lives?
That's a good question. I feel food is definitely a way that we show love, right? And we know that a lot of us grew up having, an abundance of food in our houses, and sometimes our students do not. And so the fact that I, provide them with food and I do it with love, you can see that they are so appreciative. Some kids come really hungry to school. So for me, the fact that I can, reach kids in a different way than I did as a classroom teacher, I reach them through food. We get connected through food. That's how, food brings people together. And I am so excited I get to have relationships with students around food, and we get to share a meal together or taste like you did.
I saw that love today by the kids. I mean, they just to give up their Saturday.
I know, right?
And it's sunny, sunshiny and beautiful in San Diego, California. I would be at the beach if I was a kid, that is just so awesome. And they'd love to be there. You could see it in their eyes. They were really loving it.
They're such great kids.
Well, okay. I want to thank you so much for being here today. And it was so nice to get to know you.
Thank you. More. All right. Nice.
So I'm still at the Growing School Garden Summit in San Diego, California, where it's currently beautiful out and 75 degrees. Nice. And I am with Daniel. Daniel, can you say your full name there?
Yeah, I'm Daniel Barrera. I actually have two last names, Barrera Ortega is my full name.
That sounded so cool when you said it like that. You need your own podcast.
Nobody should trust me with a mic.
Yeah. So, Daniel, where do you work?
So that is actually a very good question because I currently work at two different places as of this week. Okay. I dedicate half my time to Fresh Farm Footprints, which is a food systems organization based out of D.C.
Oh.
And I work for their education branch called Footprints.
Okay. And you live in D.C.?
Yes.
Okay.
D.C.
Okay.
is my is where I reside.
Okay.
And then as of literally last week, I am a program specialist for the School Garden Support Organization Network, the SGSON.
Okay. Yeah. And I met you the other day, and so I knew you were doing that. So How did that fit into your life? Did you wake up one day when, like you were in high school and said, I want to work in farm to school and school gardens? How did you get into this line?
So that's so funny because we talk with some people about how a lot of us end up, this is a found path for a lot of us.
Yeah.
So for me, it looked like I was doing undergrad and I didn't really know if I wanted to go to grad school. And I was basically a lab rat. My undergrad is in plant science, plant genetics. Oh. So I did a lot of really intensive lab work. And I just...
Is that like botany or horticulture?
No, I was told... So botanists apparently like kill plants to learn about them. This is very bad explained. And then we have the plant scientists who grow them to learn about them. Both necessary. Both necessary.
Okay, thank you. That's really clarifying. Okay.
But... I actually didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I liked food and I liked children. And I got involved with a school garden program in Gainesville, Florida. I went to UF for undergrad.
Go Gators.
Go Gators. Yes.
You can't see me doing the gator jump. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. So I ended up doing Food Corps for 2 years. Food Corps is an AmeriCorps program. Basically, I was a garden educator in a school in Washington, D.C., and I just was like, I really like teaching, and I really like teaching gardens and food, and that's kind of the beginning.
Yeah. Did you come up to Portland for orientation?
Yes.
That's always fun. I used to go to those just to eat the good food at,
Lewis and Clark campus. Yeah, right. It's beautiful, and, you're coming out of undergrad, you're getting flown out to Portland. Yeah. They don't do that anymore.
No, probably ever since COVID, I think. Yeah, I think maybe they'll start that up again. I'll have to talk to my buddy Aaron, see if they'll do that. But yeah, so that's an interesting journey. I haven't really heard that before, that plant science stuff. So
yeah,
that's good.
It was, I mean, it was found. It wasn't something that I just want. The original plan was it was going to be kind of like a gap thing to find whatever was next, whether it was grad school or this very traditional ABC path. And then I was like, actually, I want to stay here. And here I am,
well,
6 years later.
That's a good question. So you want to stay here. What do you envision yourself for like 5 years down the road, 10 years where you're super old like me, you know?
10 years, I'm not even going to be in my 40s. Yeah. I just aged myself down. But, you know, in 10 years, I really see myself as more of an expert in the field. I think when I thought about myself 5 years ago, like my vision was to be someone where people would come to ask questions to. Be like, oh, you know who you should talk to? You should go talk to Daniel. And I think in 5 years, in 10 years, I think it's similar but different in the sense that I'm learning to be more of a facilitator and connector of a lot of things, both having come from working in classrooms and facilitating with other teachers and children.
Yeah.
And then also I really love training. Yeah. I love interacting with people, and being the summit just solidifies the idea of I just like connecting with people, bringing heads together. And I think that's the next step is how to get our movement to connect more deeply to make our mission happen, which is have school have a school garden, every child have access to school garden education.
Okay, cool. I that really resonates with me, and you have the right kind of mindset for that passion that I see. So I applaud you for that. So yeah,
I'm just out here doing my best.
That's all we can do. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for sharing your life and stuff, and stay in contact and everything, and we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Gators.
Okay, go Gators. So I'm still at the Growing School Garden Summit in beautiful San Diego, California, and I am with Mr. Haseem Bennett, and you're from New Jersey. I see, and you're a biology teacher at, I cannot pronounce that name of that high school.
So it's like my first name, Haseem, and then the school is Weekwaic.
Weekwaic.
Okay. Yeah, it's an Indian name. Comes from the Lenape Indians.
So Haseem, can you tell me a little bit? Tell me about your job at the high school there, and I won't try to pronounce it yet until I say it like 10 times. So
So most people say Weekwaic.
Yeah.
So Weekwaic, that makes it any easier.
Okay. So tell me about Weekwaic.
So Weekwaic is in southern Newark, New Jersey. It's the southernmost ward of Newark, New Jersey.
Okay.
And it's pretty unique because it's on the other side of the highway that separates it from the rest of the city. But it's a very historically prominent school. It's been around for quite a while. Einstein visited. It was at one point the number one high school in America.
Oh, wow.
And now we are looking to regain that title.
Okay. So, yeah. So I'm picturing an old brick, stately building.
Absolutely.
That's been there.
Very Art Deco. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sits on the hill.
How many students go there?
Right now we're at about 600. The school is not as full as it used to be. There's actually a charter school that takes up the top two floors of the building just to help fill it out and give some other opportunities.
Okay. And so so high school in New Jersey. New Jersey is the Garden State. Do you guys have a school garden there?
You know, we do. I was able to work with the Greater Newark Conservancy to get a couple of grants.
Yeah.
And we're on the second iteration. We put in a couple of grow beds. We have a section on an unused portion of the campus. And my principal has now said, go do whatever you like.
Oh, it's so great to have supportive administrators that let you do that. So you're a biology teacher. So do you get a certain amount of like classes that you can kind of teach out there as you wish? Or how does that work?
I actually teach allied health, which is all of the health-related careers.
Okay.
And so with that, I don't get a chance to do as much of the growing gardening that I would like to do. So I started a club, after-school club, and we talk about a lot of the nutrition that goes with or hand-in-hand with allied health and, you know, the parts that are not in the curriculum.
Okay. How do you think your kids, I'm picturing high school kids that it's tougher sometimes. Like the elementary kids, I was just at a garden today, and the kids are on fire for stuff. And the kids, I know how in high school you have to be cool and stuff. How do you think the litmus test is for your students? How do they respond to, you know, the growing in the school gardens and all that? Really get into it, or?
Oh, they love it.
Oh, that's so good. Tell me more. How?
Well, you know, I think a lot of them want more of it, and they don't get as much exposure. Like you say, the elementary schools and the middle schools have the gardens. There's a lot of work there. Yeah. But when a kid gets to high school, you're playing sports, so you have after-school practice. As much as they're looking for jobs, you know, they got a little girlfriend, a boyfriend that they might be entertaining where they need date money. And so if they're going to stay out after school, they want to be able to get paid. And so as much as the garden is there and they're attracted to it, there's a challenge to sometimes keep them there. Yeah. But I found a way to work with some of these agencies like the Greater North Conservancy to be able to get them paid. And during the summer, student workforce development. And it's where these agencies have said, if you want to keep them working, we'll keep paying. So it's extended into the fall and now the spring. We're getting them back in the garden to help plant for the new season.
Oh, that's great. And then, you know, they can put that on their job applications and stuff like that. So that's really good. I applaud you for doing that. That's so awesome. So what do you see? Do you have any long-term goals, like in 5 or 10 years, what you could be doing there at the school if you're still there? And
that's the money question, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see it as a lifelong installation, if you will. I plan to have an agricultural vocation installed where we can now say this is where you go in this city. You're going to go to Weequahic High School to learn agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of legwork behind it, mm-hmm. but actually they have a lot of it instilled already. The standards are there. They have the CTE pathways lined out. It's just a matter of having a school with the resources, with the staffing, and the passion to be able to carry the program.
We're starting to do that in Oregon now, the CTE kind of things. Back when I was in high school, we had wood shop classes, and we made shelves, checkerboards. And now they're doing framing and like real life applications that they'll teach them job skills. And then they have the whole gardening part and the culinary part. So that's, I really like that. Yeah. I think that's the best way. It's just getting the students to the CTE campus, you know, which is tough. So,
well, you know, you build the interest and they'll come. Yeah. I'm outside working. They see me with the power tools, cutting up wood. And I want to do that.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Mr. Bennett? Can I come over there with you?
Yeah.
And that's how you start them out and just give them what they want.
Okay. Well, I'd love to stop by sometime and say hi if I'm ever in your neighborhood.
Please
and
do.
get a tour. So that's
absolutely. Hopefully we'll have a lot more plants by the time you get there.
Yeah. Well, it's the garden state again, right? So
you
kind of have to. So
what I'm going to say to the mayor when I give him this proposal.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah. All right, Hashim. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. So it was nice meeting you.
I appreciate you too, Rick. Thank you so much.
Great, thanks. Hey, everybody. We'd like to thank all of our guests for being a part of our show, and thank you for listening today.
Wow, what a gift to hear folks share their stories. Farm to School was written, directed, and produced by Rick Sherman and Michelle Markison, with production support from Leanne Lochner from Oregon State University. This podcast was made possible by a grant from the United States Department of Agriculture.
The content and ideas on the Farm to School podcast does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Oregon State University, Oregon Department of Education, and the United States Department of Agriculture. The USDA, Oregon Department of Education, and Oregon State University are equal employment providers and employers.
Want to learn more about Farm to School? Connect with us. You can check out other episodes, show notes, and send us your ideas for other episodes at farmtoschoolpodcast.org. That's all one word, farmtoschoolpodcast.org.
We would love to hear from you, too, so stop by the website just mentioned to say hello or give us an idea for a future podcast.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.